Yep, it's done.
Tonight we dedicate the learning L'Zech HaNishmas, Mr. Abiswald's father, Avraham Berab Chaim, and Dr. Sangalovsky's father, I guess, Aaron Gershon Ben Baruch Yitzchok. Let's see, we are learning. We are on Tzadik Aleph Amud Aleph, about 15 lines from the bottom. We have to look back a little in the Mishnah. Go back to the Mishnah and Pei Zayin Amud Beis. So again, and Eid Echad comes, the din should have been that you need two Eidim to say Meis Baila, because it really should have been considered a Dov Shebi Erva. And for some reason or another, the Chachamim, we know it motivated them. The Romans were killing people right and left, and they had agunas all over the place. So we realized what the problem was. They came up with the Kula Eid Echad is believed. So we worked hard to understand that it's a problem. How could they be Mekel Eid Echad? But Halacha Maisa, they were Mekel. So the Mishnah says, if the woman remarries based on the testimony of Eid Echad, and then later on it turns out that the whole thing was a mistake, the husband comes back alive, so the Mishnah has a whole bunch of penalties. So she's not allowed to stay with the second husband. She's an Eishes Ish of the first. The second husband has to give her a get. And Atari doesn't need a get. She's an Eishes Ish. Ein Kedushin Tov Sim Eishes Ish. So she needs a get midirabana from the second husband. She's not allowed to go back to the first husband. We treat her like a Saita Asur Labai. Even in Atari, it's really like Eishes Ish and Ensa. She was totally b'shege gomer. The Rabbanim told her she can rely on the Eid Echad. So the Meir Chumah, she's not allowed to live with the first husband. And if she goes back to the first husband, we declare the children on Mamzerim in the Rabbanim. And if she goes to the second husband, Abaita Mamzerim, Minatorim, in the Rabbanim, whatever. And nobody can be made for the Nador. And she doesn't collect any ksuba from anybody. And penalties on top of penalties. The Mishnah lists off all the penalties. Then the Mishnah quotes, Tanoim don't agree to all these penalties. Rabbi Yossi says, no, she does get ksuba. She gets ksuba from the first husband who divorced her. Ksubos and nichsa b'alarish. He strikes at that penalty. Ablaza says, no, the first husband who's married to her, he's still married. Zaka bim tzias ma'asadaba forest and dera. He doesn't agree with those three penalties that the Tanakhama said. Ablaza says, vaita, he doesn't agree. Who's Reb Shimon? The third Tana, Reb Shimon, doesn't agree. The first Tana, the Tanakhama said she's not allowed, if the first or the second husband dies and she doesn't have any children from either of them, so neither the brother from the first husband nor the brother from the second husband is allowed to do Yibum, they have to do Chalitza. So the next Tana, Reb Shimon Bachrei disagrees. She can have Yibum from the first husband, she can have Yibum from the brother. So these three Tanoim, Rabbi Yossi chisels away part of the penalties, Rabbi Lazar chisels away part, Rabbi Shimon chisels away. They don't agree with all the penalties.
Does each one build on the previous?
So that's what the Gemara that we skipped, because it's not relevant to Allah. We don't pass like any of these three. So that was a Machlokes HaMaraim. There's Rabbi Yossi agrees with the Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon or not? Who's the biggest chumer? Who's the biggest kula? So there are different versions here. But Allah Lamaisa, we don't pass like Rabbi Yossi, like Rabbi Loza, or like Rabbi Shimon. We pass all the penalties that the Tanakhama said. Fine. Then Rabbi Shimon makes another statement. The first statement Rabbi Shimon says in the Mishnah is that she can have Yibum. If the first husband dies, there's no penalty, and he had no children from this wife, he had no children at all, then she may have Yibum from the brother. And then Rabbi Shimon, and then he says, "En avlad memena mamzer." He disagrees with that penalty. But then Rabbi Shimon has another line: "Vimnisa shaloi b'shus." All the penalties that we're talking about is only if she remarried based on Eid Echad. So you have to give her a lot of penalties in the end. You have to warn her in advance. You better investigate to make sure that you convince that first husband is not alive. And if the first husband turns out to be alive and it's all a mistake, you're going to have a whole ton of penalties. So the Gemara uses an expression, we make her in the beginning, we allow her to remarry, because we tell her in advance, if it turns out that it's a mistake, you're going to have a lot of penalties. So they were discussing which penalties you hold from, which penalties you don't hold from. So this whole story, all these penalties, that's only if she remarried based on Eid Echad. But if two witnesses come and say, we know for a fact that the husband died, two witnesses have nothing to discuss. So you don't have to introduce any penalties. Why should you? And it turns out the husband is really alive and the two witnesses made a mistake or they lied, whatever. So there's no reason to make penalties. So that's Reb Shimon, the second thing Reb Shimon says. And if she remarried without a het to Bezin, if you have an Eid Echad, Bezin has to paskin, you have a right to rely on Eid Echad. If you have two Eidim, you don't need any Bezin to tell you can rely. Two Eidim is what it says in the Chumash by Dov Shabieva. So Reb Shimon adds on, v'nisa shaloi b'shus, if she remarried based on Eidus of two Eidim, v'teres lach saloi, she's allowed to go back to the first husband, there are no penalties at all. Shoy. So now the Gemara, that's what we got up to that. So the Gemara, about 20 lines from the bottom of Tzadik Aleph and Aleph, the Gemara has the caption from the Mishnah, nisa shaloi b'shus. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav that we paskin like the second half of Reb Shimon. The first half of Reb Shimon we do not paskin like, because the first half of Reb Shimon is Reb Yasi chisels away some of the penalties, Reb Loza chisels away others, Reb Shimon chisels away others. So that we don't chisel away anything. We hold like the Tanakam, we have all these 16 penalties. La Mizaynus, La Balos, La Hafars, and Dorim, all the penalties. But the question is the second thing that Reb Shimon says, that if she remarried based on the testimony of two Eidim, then there are no penalties at all. So that's why they quote in the name of Rav. He thinks we should pass like that. Amar Huna Marav. Huna was a student of Rav, so he says the name Rav. Pachi Hilchasa. We pass like Reb Shimon and Mishnah, that if Nisus Alpi two Eidim, there are no penalties at all. Amar Le Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman was very upset about this. Why do you have to plagiarize? Why are you a plagiarist? Why don't you say, Yisvir Lach Reb Shimon, Eim Lach Reb Shimon? Mean you hold like Reb Shimon in the Mishnah to Zog. Reb Shimon is the one who said that. Why do you say, the din is, he says the din in abstract. Why plagiarize? Say, B'Shem Amrei, right? Eim Lach Reb Shimon. The memory that you're saying is only according to Reb Shimon. I b'chitem, and maybe you'll say, if Rav would have said, I paskin like Reb Shimon, Mashma would have sounded like he paskins all the way like Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon chisels away, even when this is al pi Eid Echad. Reb Shimon chisels away part of many of the penalties. He says she's allowed to have Yibum. And the Vlad is not a mamzer. He said the first half of Reb Shimon is when he's picking away some of the penalties. So if he would have said Alachi Reb Shimon would sound like all the way, he doesn't want to paskin all the way. He'd paskin like from Tanakam, he have all the penalties. So the Gemara says still. Again, Lechitain, or maybe the reason why he didn't want to say Alachi Reb Shimon. Yeah, I mean Alachi Reb Shimon, Mashman would have sounded like a filo become mice, even the first half of what Reb Shimon said, that he throws away some of the penalties. Why didn't he say Ema Alochik Reb Shimon Bachreina? Why didn't he say I paskin like the last thing that Reb Shimon said? The last thing was the difference between this is Sapi Edech and this Sapi Shneid. So Gemara said Hasta Gut Kash. Why did Rav not say I'm paskin like the second din that Reb Shimon said? Why didn't he just say the din on his own as if he's ignoring the Mishnah? He should have said he paskin like Reb Shimon. Sure. So Rav paskins like that. So now Amar should. They were just discussing so far why doesn't he say B'Shem Amr? Amr Avsheshes, or Avsheshes upset in the other direction. I think Rab must have been drowsy when he said that. It cannot be. Why should he pass like Reb Shimon? We should have the penalties. Amina, I think, he must have been sleepy. He didn't know what he was talking about. Why? He says, Halacha, the din is like this, that if she remarried based on two witnesses, no penalty. What do you mean the din is like this? He says, there never was a machlokes. Halacha is saying halacha is this is al pishneidim. We paskal. What do we paskal? I can say we paskal halacha. You have to like tefillin on Wednesday morning. There's no shaila. There's no machlekes. Well, what do you mean we paskal? So what does he mean? We paskal like Reb Shimon. We paskal like this din that if two witnesses said meis baila, so there's no penalty at all. There never was a machlekes there. The whole machlekes only was if this is al pishneidim. How many penalties do you have? Which penalties do you have? But if this is al pishneidim, and never was a halach machlal de pligi. Why should anybody disagree? If two Adam come and say, Meis Baila Mahavalul Mebad, what he wanted to do? Men is onsa, the din is adonashish shenensa, if someone attacks her. So she's materis lebaila, unless the husband is a kohen, then she becomes a zayin of the kohen. But if the husband's not a kohen, eshishish shenensa is materis, it says in the chumash, vihilo nispasa. If nispasa is materis, and if everything was mamish b'shege, ba'in is gomish, she didn't, two Adam say the husband is not alive. So it should be the same as an ensam. Vod frag the matani, we have a brisa that seems to be that everybody agrees. The brisa says, "Kol araisha b'tayra ein srichus emen again." Let's say a man decides to marry his sister. He gives his sister a ring and he says, "Ariya mukudeshesli." So a sister is one of the arayas. He wants to marry his shviga. So the shviga is chamoisa, is an isakaris. So if a man gives a ring to an eshesish, he says, "Arem b'kodeshesli." So you don't need a get. You don't even need a get midirabbanan. You never need a get. Whenever someone is ein kedushin tovsin b'chayv krisis, everybody agrees to that. There's a big machlekes atanoim. When is the vlad mamzer? But when is ein kedushin tovsin that we paskin? We paskin by chayv krisis ein kedushin tovsin. Well, the next stop is going to discuss Rabbi Akiva holds. Even Chavi Lavin, that's in the bottom of Tzadik Beis. We'll get to that. But so far we assume all Arayas. Arayas means Chavi Krisis. Kol Arayas Shabbatar, whenever a man is Mekadosh, Achoso, Bito, Imo, Eshesish, any one of the Arayas, Etzvichas Amen Get, the Get is, the Kiddushin is not Chal, you don't need a Get. With the one exception, Chutz Me Eshesish, and this is Api Bezdin. If the Eshesish remarried, Bezdin allowed her to rely on the Eid Echad, then you have then you have all the penalties that she needs to get from the second husband, and she can go back to the first husband, the whole story. So that brisa sounds like, only if she remarried based on Eid Echad, and the Bezdin permitted her to rely on Eid Echad. That's called Alpi Bezdin. Alpi Bezdin, if you needed Bezdin to be matar, to rely, then you have, she needs to get from the second husband. Aber Alpi Eidim lo bayagita. So the brisa is pretty, sounds very clearly like that. So the question is, whose opinion is the brisa representing? Is that Reb Shimon or is that the Rabbanan? So the Gemara says, "Mani, who's a, that's a brisa later. Where the Bach tells you, no, someone else tells you. In the new Gemara, they tell it's a brisa on Tzadik Dalin on the base. Okay, they quoted a brisa on that Tzadik Dalin on the base. So the Gemara wants to know that brisa. The old time you call a brisa, but there is a brisa. So they want to know, Mani, whose opinion is that? E lemo, if you should say the brisa goes like Reb Shimon, that's what the impression that we had from the Mishnah, that Reb Shimon is quoted in the Mishnah, and he says he agrees with some of the penalties from the Tanakhama, but not all. He throws out that she can't have Yibun, and he says the Vlad is a Mamza, he doesn't hold the Vlad as a Mamza. And then he said another thing, if she married Alpi Shneyedim, she can go back to the first husband. If she married Alpi Edechad, she can go back to the first husband. If she marries Alpi Shneyedim, she goes back to the first husband. So the Shaila is, does Reb Shimon distinguish between Nisus Alpi Edechad and Nisus Alpi Shneyedim with respect to whether she needs a get from the second husband? And the Mishnah doesn't say. So the Gemara says, Mani, whose opinion is this brisa? That the woman who remarried based on Eid Echad needs a get from the second husband, even though in the Torah, Ein Kedushin Tovsin B'chayv Krisis, she's an Eshesish, Midrabbanan, she needs a get. Whose opinion is that? If he should say it's Reb Shimon, and we're distinguishing Alpi Bezdin, is that true? And we distinguish between Alpi Bezdin, if this is Alpi Eid Echad, and this is Alpi Shneidim. Is that Reb Shimon's opinion? Alpi Bezdin need by a get. Is that Reb Shimon's opinion? That Midirabbanan, she needs a get from the second husband when she's Nisus Alpi Eid Echad, We know it's not true. V'hatayi, the Gemara says, we have a b'risa. Reb Shimon, I'm there. Osu bezin b'hayra osim. If the bezin paskin al pi'ed echad, that the woman is allowed to remarry. We treat it like zedon ish b'yusha. We treat it like an ish zinsa on purpose. And al pi'edim, if the woman remarried based on two witnesses testify, then we treat it like an esh zish zinsa b'shogeg. But whether esh zish zinsa b'shogeg or esh zish zinsa b'mezid, in either case, she doesn't need a get from the man she was mezana with. So Reb Shimon says, there's a difference between nisus al pi'ed echad and nisus al pi'shnei edim. He doesn't say the difference is whether you need a get. Either be eating by a gita. Whether the woman, whether you treat the esh zish who married the second husband, whether you treat her like an esh zish zinsa b'ratzen, then she's a seit asura labayla, she can go back to the first husband. If you treat her like an esh zish zinsa b'shogig kishigig asish b'yisha, like an esh zinsa b'shogig, then she may go back to the first husband, like an esh zish enensa. But in either case, not by a get. So whose opinion is that? That we just said a brisa, the first wide line on the Amud. Kol ha'raisha b'tor don't need a get, except for esh zish enisus ha'pi bezin. If this is Alpi Bezin, she needs a get. This is Alpi Shneidim, she doesn't need a get. It can't be Reb Shimon, because Reb Shimon says that the Esh Zish who remarried, in either case she does. He sounds like he holds, in either case he don't need a get. He treats one like an Esh Zish Zinsa B'Ratzen, one like an Esh Zish Zinsa B'Ainas, but in either case he don't need a get. So it must be Alalav Rabbanan. This Brisa, the first wide line, must be the Rabbanan speaking. So what did you say before? That is Reb Shimon, and we're discussing why didn't Rab say he paskens like Reb Shimon? Why is he plagiarizing? He should have said I'm a dabba b'shem Rabbi Gnul began the lo malach. The Gemara says it can't be Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon holds. Reb Shimon doesn't hold from that you need to get. Tanakhama says you need to get from the first husband, you need to get from the second husband. Reb Shimon seems told you don't need to get from the second husband. So the only one who the Brisa follows is Ela Lab Rabbanani. So you see, it's according to the Rabbanan. So what did they get so excited? Why did Rav say it? And why didn't he say Reb Shimon? It's not Reb Shimon. It's the Rabbanan hold like that. That's the Gemara. That's Reb Sheshes Tainus. Why does Rav say that's the halacha, a chiddush, that the halacha is like Reb Shimon? It's not Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon doesn't agree. Reb Shimon would think she doesn't need it. She never needs a get from the second husband. It's only the Rabbanan who said like this. Of course the din is like the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says not true. Mark says four lines from the bottom. La oilam Reb Shimon. No, Reb Shimon is the one who distinguishes that if nisus al pi shnei edim, then she doesn't need a get from the second husband. That brisa, in other words, the brisa on the first wide line that says an eshes ish who remarried someone else needs a get from the second husband if nisus al pi bezin means nisus al pi edechod, but if nisus al pi shnei edim she doesn't need a get. That's Reb Shimon speaking. And we're going to discuss whether we should pass like Reb Shimon, but that's Reb Shimon. It's not the Rabbanan speaking. But the Brisa says, according to Reb Shimon, that if nisus al pishnei edim, we treat it like an eshes ish shezinsa b'shogeg. And if nisus al pi edechod, you treat it like an eshes ish shezinsa b'ratzen. But in either case, you should need a get. The Gemara says, no, not true. Le'olam Reb Shimon hi. U'tvit sochi. The Brisa that we quoted, We quoted Reb Shimon Oimer, two lines above this line. The line ends off Reb Shimon, the next line Oimer, Reb Shimon Oimer. Also, Bezim Ha'eros, and you treated B'shogeg B'mezid. What it meant was like this. Gemara says, Le'olam Reb Shimon, the Brisa that says sometimes you need to get, sometimes not. You don't need to get, you need to get from the second husband, it is Reb Shimon. And the Brisa that we said, Reb Shimon sounds like you never need to get, not true. Utritzach, he interpreted the second Brisa like this. Reb Shimon, Eimer, Oze Bezin Behaira Osam. If the Bezin had a Paskin based on Eid Echad, that the girl is allowed to remarry, then we consider it Kikabonasish Beisha. We treat it like a man who convinces a girl to marry him, and they both agree, and then she need a get. Ubayaget, if the Bezin had a paskin based on Eid Echad, then we need to get the Rabbanan from the second husband. But al pi'edim, but if she remarried based on two witnesses, he didn't need a Bezin to allow her. It wasn't based on Metocha M'shachmata Ela B'Soifa. Two Edim said, then I treat her like Kishalot B'Kabonis Yishvisha. That's like a man and a woman who are living together, who they never agreed to get married. He never gave a kiddush and never agreed. So Memela lo bayiget. So that's how you should interpret that brisa. The brisa on the brises are here on the fourth line, on the fourth white line. He didn't mean the mezid b'sheg. He says in one case he need a get, one case he don't need a get. So that was a discussion. It's Reb Shimon speaking. Should be paschal like Reb Shimon. So Rab said, yeah, we should paschal like Reb Shimon. Rav Ashi says also, we misinterpreted, we mistranslated the words of the brisa that quote Reb Shimon. Linyan isura katani. Not that the brisa is distinguishing kikavonas ish b'isha. In one case, he treated like a boy and a girl who agreed to get married. So you need to get midrabbanan here by nisus al piyadechad, and then nisus al pishneidim treated like a boy and a girl who never agreed to get married. So you don't need to get. No, the brisa is talking. Is she allowed to go back to the first husband? Linyan isura katani rachikama. Also, Bezin b'hayros, and if Bezin had a paskin based on Eidechot, that the girl is allowed to remarry, then I say she's not allowed to go back to the first husband. I treat it like a zodin ish b'isha. I treat it like a case of an ish is into beratzin. That's the penalty. Even though it was b'shoigig b'oinus, but we treat it like b'mezid umitzra b'ayla. She may not go back to the first husband. But if she remarried al piyadim, so it's not her fault, so then it's kishigigas ish b'isha. V'loi mitzra b'ayla. We treat it like an ish ish and ensa. And she's allowed to go back to the first husband. So Shaini Gemara says there are different ways to interpret the brisa. What we interpreted originally, that idi the idi, lord by a get, that Reb Shimon holds you never need a get from the second husband, that's not correct. Gemara says it's really Reb Shimon speaking on the first wide line on the Omer, it's Reb Shimon speaking, and he's the one who says that if this is hapied echad, you need a get from the second husband, this is hapied shnei, we don't need a get from the second husband. Sure. Rabina gives a different interpretation. Everyone's given a different interpretation in the Brisa, not the way we thought originally. The Idi V'Idi love by the get. Rabina says, but when Reb Shimon and the Brisa says a difference between this is Halpiyadech and this is Halpishnayedim, Rabina omits Linya Korban Katani. He's distinguishing a one case. What's the din? It says in the Chumash in Vayikra, Parsha Vayikra, if a person doesn't have Eire, and he realized, a person did an aver b'shegeg, has to bring a chatas. What did he do b'shegeg? He cheated in business b'shegeg? Or he ate chazah b'shegeg? What aver? He talked hashnara b'shegeg? What did he do b'shegeg? So the Mishnah say, if he did an aver b'shegeg, which if he would have done it b'mezid, he would have been chayv kares, if he does it b'shegeg, then you chayv chatas. So Reb Shimon and the Braisa was distinguishing between Alpi Eid Echod. How did Reb Shimon say? Asa Bezin Mahayro Osan. If Bezin Paskin, she's allowed to remarry based on Eid Echod. Just like if a person doesn't have Aver B'mezid, you're not Chayev Chatos. You only bring a Chatos if you did the Aver B'shoigig. So if Bezin allowed her to remarry based on Eid Echod, just like B'mezid, you wouldn't bring a Chatos. In this case also, you don't bring a Chatos. Why? Because that's what you learn off in the parsha of Parhal and Dovah Shel Tzibur. It says in the Torah, let's say, by mistake I ate chametz b'Pesach. I ate a kazayis chametz b'Pesach. I have to bring a chatas. By mistake I ate on Yom Kippur. You have to bring a chatas. By mistake he didn't realize that ishta nido. So his born ishta nido, he has to bring a chatas. What happens if the Bez Nagodol Paskins, that whatever, some kind of chametz is mutter b'Pesach. So if the chief rabbinate says it's mutter, it's mutter. So everybody eats the chametz. And then they back out, and they have charat, and they announce in public, we made a mistake, that kind of chametz is awesome. So it turns out the Rav HaTzibur, 51% of the Jewish population living in Eretz Yisrael violated the Issa chametz because of the mistake of Pesach the Bez Nagol. So you don't say each and every Jew who ate chametz with Pesach, b'shegik, has to bring a chatos. So you let the Bez Nagol bring a chatos, and everybody will be niskaper. So that's if 51% of the tzibur in Eretz Yisrael violated aver. What if only 5% of the tzibur violated aver? So the Bez Nagodol does not bring a special parhal and dovah shel tzibur. Does the halacha say that each and every person who ate the chametz b'Pesach or whoever, whatever aver they violated, each and every person has to bring a chatos? What do you say? No. Bez Nagodol paskin muta, so they're not mechuyev to bring. So that's a machloket satanayim. That's called yochid shosah b'hayroz bezin. Yochid means doesn't have to be a yochid. Means anything less than 51% is called yechidim. So if less than, so we pass in yochid shasar b'ras bezin is chayv chatos. We pass in the only time the yechidim are potter from bringing a chatos is if roiv hatzibur, 51% of the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael violated the iser, and the parhalam davar hatzibur is being brought, then the yechidim don't have to bring a chatos. But if less than 51% did it, and there isn't going to be any parhalam davar hatzibur, each and every person has to bring a chatos. It's not their fault. They listen to the Bez Nagol. So if I fall, maybe they have a right to sue them. Maybe they can make the Bez Nagol pay for the chatos. I didn't turn, maybe Medina de Garmi. But bottom line, each and every person has to bring a chatos. But that's a machlokes hatanaim. That's the machlokes. But the yochid shosa beroz bezn is chayv chatos ana. So the Gemara is now interpreting. Maybe that's what Reb Shimon says. Here on the fourth white line, on Tzadik Aleph and Aleph. Reb Shimon Aimer, osa bezn b'hayro, osa... If the yochid listened to the woman remarried based on the bezn's psak, based on the eid echad, then I treat it kizodin ish b'isha. Very kizodin. If a person violates eishes ish b'mezid, there is no din of chatas, only b'shoigeg. So here, just like b'mezid, there's no din of chatas. Here, if you follow the psak of the bezn agadol, it's not your fault, so you don't have to bring a chatas. But if it's al pi eidim, the bezn didn't get involved at all. Two eidim said the husband is dead. So the woman's allowed to remarry. You don't need a psak of a bezn over there. So then, kishigigasish b'isha, just like if a person does an aver b'shoigeg, which if he would have done b'mezid, it would have been chayiv koris, if he does b'shoigeg, chayiv chatas. So here also, so if to Adam allowed the woman to remarry, she didn't have any psak from any bezn, so then she'll be chayiv chatas, like anyone who does an aver b'shoigeg. So the Gemara gave all the alternate interpretations. So again, let's go again. So the Gemara said, this Gemara we started tonight, they quoted in the name of Rav that we paskin that there's a difference between Nisus Api Eidech and Nisus Api Shnei Eidim. Nisus Api Eidech, you need a get from the second husband. Nisus Api Shnei Eidim, you don't need a get from the second husband, and none of the penalties involved. Why not? So the Gemara, says, what do you want? I have a little meb, and men is answer. It's not her fault. Mamish Eishesish Shenensa. It's not her fault. And now the Gemara is going to discuss, is that really true?
But the vlad is still a mamzer, no?
From the second husband, the vlad will be a mamzer, yeah. Yeah. That for sure. But the question is whether she needs a get from the second husband. So, in Kiddushin Tov Sumesh Zish, so she really shouldn't need a get. Okay. The Gemara is here, the Gemara touches up some more. Fine, okay. So then the Gemara says, the next line. The Gemara says, Masiv ula frek takasha. Is that true? Me, I'm reading my havla lamed. But is that correct? What you said before, that what he wanted to do is mamish ba'oynes. It's not her fault that she was mizana. The two edim came, so I treat it like eshesish shenensa with teres. Frek digmar. There seem to be so many mishnayos that contradict that. Frek digmar v'hatanan. The Gemara is going to ask one Mishnah, another Mishnah, another Mishnah. I'm going to ask a lot of Mishnahs. Frag the Gemara, but tonight we have the following Mishnah. The Gemara says in Gittin that there's a Takana de Rabbanan that you have to write Zman in the get. So what is this Zman? So you write what day of the week it is, what day of the month, and which month, Shine. And then you write what year. So we have the practice now, we write Libriya Solom. How many years it is Libriya Solom? Tavshin Pei. Now it's Tavshin Pei. It's the whole cheshbon of Tavshin Pei, 5,780, is on the assumption that the Bai Sheni only lasted 420 years. The Goyish history books assumed Bai Sheni was 150 years longer than that. And we once discussed the Balamor in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah writes, Tzedavah Yadua, the Gemara made a mistake, the Bai Sheni was much longer. Because the Gemara assumes that all the names in Tanakh, all the different kings, it's all the same name, all the same person. They had many different names. And the history, Goyish history books say, no, there were different kings, one after the other, after the other, after the other. So you're missing 150 years in the Bai Sheni. So that's a Shaila. We write in the Get, in Iksuba, we write how many years it is, Libriya Sa'ilam. So if, according to the Balamor, it's incorrect. Balamor says that the Goyish history books are correct. And the Gemara's history is not correct. So all the Gittin are puzzle, all the Gittin are wrong, has the wrong date. So the Teretz is, we always write in the Get, how many years it is, Libriya Sola, the Minyashan Monum Kambir, New York. We write according to our calculation. That happens to be our calculation, right or wrong. So we write Lemin Yashan Monum Kam. So there's no Tainus. That's the way, that's the comment on all the calendars. It says Tav Shin Pei, whether it's right or wrong. That is Lemin Yashan Monum Kam. This practice to write Libriya Sola is a very recent practice. For many generations, they didn't write like that. In fact, the country used to, the government of many of the countries used to insist that in all official documents you have to write how many years it is since Hakamas Hamadina, how many years it is since this Melech took office. And that's the opening Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. If you have a Jewish king ruling over Eretz Yisrael, they just appointed him on Purim. They just made him king on Purim. So when it comes to Rosh Chodesh Nissan, 2 weeks later, he read already Shana Shniya LeMelech Pliny, because Rosh Hashanah LeMalchi Yisrael is Zechad Benissen. And if it's a Goyish king or Jewish king, and Queen of England claims to be a descendant from the Malchus Beis David, so even if it's true, even if she's Jewish and she's descendant of Malchus Beis David, but she's not ruling over Eretz Yisrael. So whenever it's a Goyish country, it's a Goyish king in Eretz Yisrael. So then the Rosh Hashanah is Zechad B'Tishrei. It's not Zechad Benissen. So the king or the queen was appointed, let's say, of Elul. Then when it comes to Echad B'Tishrei, you already write Shana Shnei on the Melech Pliny. And then the Mishnah has, if you wrote how many years it is, Libriya Sa'olam, the get is Pasol Midirabban. Minatar, the get doesn't even need Zman. The whole Takana Zman, the Gemara says, only Midirabban. If they might take the Zman, the Gittin is a whole Sugi and Gittin. It's only Midirabban. But if you wrote this man, a different man, how many years it is since Binyan Abayis, how many years it is since Churban Abayis, how many years it is since Bias HaElam, and you didn't write how many years it is since Hakamas HaMedina, or since Melech Pliny was appointed, so the Mishnah says, in Gittin, the get is Pasal Midrabban. The Bali Ataisis didn't have this practice. Those who lived in France and Germany, they never wrote how many years it is since Hakamas HaMedina in Germany or France, how many years it is since Melech Pliny took over. So the Baal HaTetz in Gittin asked all the Gittin apostle because of the din and the Mishnah. So they say, no, that din, the Gemara says, Mimtei Shalom Malchus, because the government was makpid, they wanted you to write how many years it is since the Gink took over. And the Baal HaTetz say that today the government couldn't care less. They don't care what you write. And your Ksubas and your Gittin do whatever you want. They don't care at all. So the whole Takana doesn't apply. That's a Takana Mimtei Shalom Malchus. You shouldn't cause friction with the government. So if the government is makbid, you have to write how many years it is. So what if you wrote a get? Kasev l'shem malchus sheinu hu genis. You wrote how many years it is since the Roman government was appointed. You don't live in Rome. You live in a different country. You're writing a different. L'shem malchus modern, l'shem malchus yavon, l'binyan abayis, l'churban abayis. You wrote a different date. The date is correct. But you didn't write how many years it is since the government was established in the country where the get was given. So that's puzzle, such a get is puzzle with the Rabban. Okay. Mishum Shlom Malchus. Bizman said the American government couldn't care less, so you don't need the whole thing. The Israeli government also doesn't care. They don't want you to write how many years it is since Netanyahu was appointed, how many years since Hakamas HaMedina. They don't say you have to write. You want to write, isn't it? But they don't require it. So it wouldn't puzzle with the Rabban if you didn't write how many years since Hakamas HaMedina. So that's the first half of the Mishnah and Gittin. So Mishnah and Gittin. Then the second half has another din. Hoy b'mizrach u'kasa b'mayrath. The get was written in one location. You have to write this man. Then you say, l'min yishon amon ekam b'ir so-and-so. You say, b'ir New York. So what if he's not New York? What if he's in Newark, New Jersey? And he wrote b'ir New York. So then it says, it's possible. Hoy b'mizrach u'kasa b'mayrath. He's writing the get, the Edom. It depends where the Edom are. So they wrote in the get, L'min Yishan Amon and Kan, in a certain city, the Mizrach. And really, it's not true. They wrote B'Marav. He was in Mizrach, they wrote B'Marav. Or he was in Marav, they wrote B'Mizrach. They wrote the wrong Mokum. So what's the difference? What is this Mokum or that Mokum? So that's only a Psul de Rabbanan. Who cares? Who cares, man? Wherever you give the get, it's good. Any country in the world, you give the get. So it's only possible with the Rabban. So the din is, so the woman didn't realize the get was possible, and she goes and she remarries, and she has children from the second husband. So the Mishnah says, Teitze mizeh mizeh, she's not allowed to go back to the first husband. We treat her like a Saita Asura Labailo. She has to get divorced from the second husband, because Kashem Shasura Labal, Kachasura Labal. We treat her like an Eshus Ishid Zinsa. And all of the 16 penalties in the beginning of this Mishnah here carry over there to that case in Gittin. And this Sofek de Gemara, what do you want from the poor woman? She doesn't know Hilchos Gittin. She may not even know how to read Hebrew. The get is usually today. There's no din that the get has to be written in Hebrew. I mean, the Mishnah has a case, the get is written in Greek and the Edom signed in Hebrew. The get is written in Hebrew, the get and the Edom signed in Greek. So some Rishonim say these are the only two alphabets that the Halacha recognizes, Greek alphabet and Hebrew alphabet. And if you wrote the get in English letters, the whole get is no good. The Pashta says we don't hold like that. The Pashta says we hold any script that's accepted. You write in English, you write in any Chinese, you write in Japanese, whatever. Any alphabet is acceptable.
Wouldn't it be like the number of lines? We usually have 12 lines, I think they get. So in different languages, could be turned out differently?
Uh-huh. Could be also good. It's also an alphabet that's recognized, yeah, for the blind. Could be. I mean, you don't really need ink. Allah says you don't need ink. You can do chakika. You can carve out something. So here, the blind use
braille
that protrudes. It's raised. Yeah. Also good. It's also good. Okay. It'll also be good. So the Gemara frekta kasha. What is Ishuldik? How does she know? She doesn't know how to read the get. So why do you say you penalize her? Here, by our case, we understand why we're penalizing. Because why do we believe Eid Echon in the first place? The Gemara says, because we warn her in advance, you better investigate, because if it turns out that it's a mistake and the first husband is still alive, you're going to suffer all these penalties. So we have to have penalties to make sure that she investigates in advance, to make sure that that the Eid Echon is telling the truth. But the Gemara says over there, what do you want the girl to do? It's not her fault. Shrek the Gemara.
You also do that, the penalties?
Yeah, that's what the Mishnah is only a psul de rabbanon. You wrote the correct date, but you wrote how many years since Hakamas HaMedina of a different Medina. So how many years it is since they established the American government in 1776. And he lives in Paraguay, Uruguay, whatever. He lives in a different country. So what did he write against it? It's the correct date. But since it's not the date of this government, and the governments used to be makbid, so Mishum Shlom Malchus, they declared that the Rabbanah to get this puzzle. Frek the Gemara, the Amai, why do you say you throw the whole book at her? You give her all the penalties. Lema, why don't we say, my Havalo Lemed, but what do you want from the poor woman? His mom is Bishoigeg. Eshes Ishes Zinsa Bishoigeg. We just said before, if two Aiden come, so there's no penalties. They don't have any of the penalties. So why do you have the penalties over here? What do you want her to do? What do you want from the girl? And for the Gemara, no? She should have brought the get to a rabbi before she remarries. She should have brought the get to a rabbi, an Orthodox rabbi, and ask him, is this a valid get? Am I allowed to remarry? And just like this, because the husband, I don't know if this would apply to his manas, and the days of the Gemara, the husband wrote a get and gave it to his wife. They didn't have a bezin. The Gemara in Baba Basa has an expression, ought to call the megarish, but beidina megarish. Everybody who gets divorced goes to a bezin to write the get. The practice was that not. Bizmanazeh, the practice is that kol she'en edeh b'tid get mekedushin lo yahei lo yisik imoim. That's a takana from the later Amoraim. In the days of the Tanoim and the early Amoraim, they never had such a takana. That's what the Vilna Gaon points out. In the days of the Amoraim, the later Amoraim made a takana, yet he needed a dayan who's a mumche for Siddi Kiddushin to be Makadah, to do Siddi Kiddushin. We call the rabbi who performs the marriage the Masada Kiddushin. Where does that come from? So the Vilna Gaon points out from the Rishonim. The Vilna Gaon, the Bir Agro, and Evanenza says, it's when they made that takana in the days of them, kol she'ene deh b'tid gittin kiddushin, lo yehei la'asig moim, that's when they instituted Yerida Masada Raget, who's an expert in Hilchas Gittin, and Yerida Masada Kiddushin, who's an expert in Hilchas Kiddushin. Usually today, when a boy from yeshiva gets married, so he picks his Rosh Hashiva to be Masada Kiddushin. Yeshiva knows how to say a good pilpul, but he doesn't necessarily know what it says in Ebenezer about Siddi Kiddushin. That's not right. You're not supposed to get a great prominent Torah scholar, supposed to get someone who knows Hilchus Kiddushin. A lot of times the local Orthodox rabbi knows Hilchus Kiddushin and Ibn Ezra better than the Rosh Yeshiva. It's not right. So in the days of the Bizman Azeh, the Masadar Aget was a Bezn. We always have, we insist the Get L'chatchila has to be done by Yom, because you can't have a Kriyas Bezn Balayla. And the Masadar Aget should not be related to the husband or the wife, just like a Dayan is not allowed to be related to either the Taveh or the Nitva, to the Balidinim. So the Masadar Aget, L'chatchila, shouldn't be related to the husband or the wife, because we treat the Masadar Aget like a Dayan on the case. That's why need by Yom. Same thing by Kiddushin also. The Rishonim came up with this idea, said it both by a Chasana and by a Get, that you shouldn't have a wedding at night. I got married at night. I'm sure half the people here also got married at night. But in the Rishonim it says, both by a Get and by a Kiddushin, you shouldn't do it by Laila, and the Masada Get, Masada Kiddushin should not be related to either. So because it's only a Chumrah, so on Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam didn't quote the whole Chumrah. The Rambam only quotes the Chumrah ben a Get to a Get. That the Get should be by Yom, and the Masada Get should not be related to the husband or the wife. So in the Sefer Knesset Hagdala, Knesset Hagdala is a Likut. The Beis Yosef is a Likut of all of the Rishonim and Achrayim until his day, to Rabbi Yosef Karo in the 1550s. Then the Knesset Hagdala is a Likut, Vaiter Likut of the Achrayim. Then you have Shiori Knesset Hagdala. What was left out from the Knesset Hagdala? Another Likut. Then the Chidah has the Birkei Yosef and Shiuri Bracha. They have Likutim. So the Knesset Hagdala writes, he was a rabbi in Constantinople. So he says he came to Constantinople. He comes upon a strange minhag. They have Chasanas Balayla. Never heard of that. Chasana Balayla. So he says he insisted that you have to reverse the practice. You have to go back to the old minhag. The old minhag was just like in Makta, the Get has to be Bayom. The Chasana has to be Bayom also because you need a Bezin. But the Maisa, it's not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch by Hilchus Kiddushin. It's only quoted by the Get. So by the Get, we're machma l'chatchila on that. That it shouldn't be done by Laila, and it shouldn't be done by Kroivin. They told me that Rav Moshe was never makpid. Rav Moshe Feinstein wasn't even makpid by a Get. He would do l'chatchila Get by Laila, because he didn't hold from that chumrah. But that's from Rishonim. That's when you look at the Yom Shleima on Ksubis, there's a long paragraph, the first paragraph in the Yom Shleima. There are two mesichtes in the Gemara. There's Maseches Kiddushin, all about Kiddushin, and Maseches Ksub is all about Nisuin. So there's the Yom Shleima is written by the Marshal. So the first Yom Shleima Ksubis has a long essay about this topic, and he quotes this from the Or Zeruah, that L'chatchili you need a Bezin by the Get, and L'chatchili you need a Bezin by the Kiddushin, and it shouldn't be Kroivim to the Chosin Kal, and it shouldn't be Balai, it should only be Bayom. But the Halacha L'maisa in Shulchan Aruch was only quoted in Hilchus Gid. So in Bizman Hazeh, that you have the Get is, the Masadar Get is a Bezin, so you wouldn't expect the girl to go to another Bezin. Check with another rabbi. The prominent rabbi did the Get. But Bizman HaGemara, Bizman HaTanoim, they didn't have such a practice. The Get was written by the husband, right? And the husband, the Gemara has that lotion. Otto called the Megarish, but they didn't Megarish. Everybody who divorces his wife goes to Bezin, they didn't. A person wrote again. So that's what the Gemara says. We have a taina against the girl. Rashi says, Lifnei Chacham. She should have shown the Get to a Talmid Chacham and asked him, am I allowed to remarry? So because she didn't, we hold it against her, and we say, we penalize her. We treat her like an Eish Zish, a Zinsa Berotzen. We don't say it's Eish Zish and Ensa.
Rishonim to say that someone just officiating should not have any
kirvah to the Chatzmakala. Rashi in Gittin, the beginning of Gittin, comments on the Gemara there, that they used to have a Dayan who was Memunah ala Gittin. So Rashi used the Loshon Dayan. So that's what the Rishonim say based on their Rashi. Just like a Dayan is not allowed to be related to the Taveh or the Nitva in the Din Torah, so too the one who's Masada the Get is like a Dayan on the Inyan of the Get, so he shouldn't be related either to the husband or the other wife. So that is quoted in Shulchan Aruch by Get, but by Kiddushin it's not quoted.
From the comment of the Grah, it doesn't seem like he understood it that way though, right? From the comment of the Grah doesn't seem to say that the Masada Kiddushin takes a status of Kusamtan and Dayan.
No, also, he quotes that Rashi also, the same thing. But yes, but he says the Gemara that says, Otto called the Megarish by Dina Megarish, That was in the days of the Tanaim, in the early days of the Amoraim. But in the days of the late Amoraim, after they made that Takana, Kol Mishen Edeh, but they've gotten Vidush, and they say, Gemarim, from that time on, the Takana was that the Siddi Kiddushin should be done under the auspices of a Dayan who is Mamuna Al Kach.
That statement of
Luya Osei
is referring to a Dayan?
Yeah, it goes on, Rashi learns, it goes on the Dayan who's going to be Mesari Kiddush and the Mesari to get. This has another pshat. It means if a single boy, shouldn't date a girl, should never talk to a girl about the possibility of marriage, because they may by mistake buy her a bottle of soda, and may by mistake be Mekadosh, she won't even realize. Mishen Yedeh means if the boy who's single wants to marry a girl, he shouldn't take her out on a date. If he's any day, her husband should never talk to his wife about getting divorced, because they may by mistake give her a kosher get and he won't even realize it. So a husband should never talk to his wife about the possibility of getting divorced. And a single boy should never talk to a single girl about getting married if they don't know Hilchos Kiddushin. But that's not the accepted pshat. The pashut pshat is like Rashi said. Lo Yehelei Sigmon goes on the diet. Goes on the diet. The Mesadra get has to know Hilchos Kiddushin up. So that's what they asked for that Mishnah. You're always going to say that if it's not her fault, we treat her like an Eshes Ish Shenenso. So what do you do with this Mishnah? Where it says, no, we hold it against her. She should have shown the get to an expert and asked if she allowed to remarry. So the next time I ask, they're going to have one after the other, after the other. They're all going to ask for Mishnais and Gittin. They're all Mishnais and Gittin. Amar Avsimi Barashi Toshma is going to ask from another Mishnah. Oh, this is okay. Akane says, Yivimtai. In the days of the Gemara, it was before the Cherem Derabbi Gershon. So once in a while, you had a person who had two wives. Even in the days of the Tanaim, it was rare. We have a din at the end of the second parak in Yevamos, in the Mishnah, in the end of the second parak, that it wasn't the common practice to have two wives. It was unusual. But once in a while, they would have. So what's a din if a man dies and he has no children? From any wife, he has no children at all. And he leaves two wives. So you only have to do Yibam Machalitza on one of the two, and then the other one is allowed to remarry. So the Mishnah says, HaKoyne says, Yibim Toi, a man does Yibam, he marries one of the two sisters-in-law. Right. So then the other wife, the co-wife, is allowed to remarry. She doesn't need Chalitza. As long as the Yavam, as long as the surviving brother of the husband who passed away, surviving brother does the Yibam Machalitza to one of the wives, so all the others are potter. So it says, HaKayna says, the surviving brother does Yibam V'holchat Saras, and the co-wife goes, Venisa, she goes marry someone else, and then you discover later, Venisa Zu Islandess. Then it turns out that the Yavama, who married the Yavam, was an Islandess. An Islandess is a woman whose body doesn't develop normally, and she'll never be able to have children. There's a Saras and an Islandess, and there's an Okar Bakara. So we have a lot of people that married for years and they don't have any children. Some kind of hormone imbalance or something sometimes can be straightened out by diet, sometimes by hormone pills, the other things. An eyelid and a cervix can't be straightened out. The whole body doesn't grow normally. Usually a boy becomes bar mitzvah 13, a girl becomes bar mitzvah 12. Cervix and an eyelid become gedolim at the age of 20. If they have simoni cervix or simoni eyelid, that's a different kind of a person. And they don't have shtei saris. They don't become gedolim until the age of 20.
35
is another din. If they don't have simoni saris or islanders, and they don't have shtei saris, so they never become gedolim. If you see the body isn't growing normally, it's growing like an islanders or like a saris. A man is a saris, woman is an islanders. Then they become gedolim at 20. What if they seem to have a normal body, but they just don't bring shtei saris? So then the Gemara says, based on the pasuk, Yimeshna Seinu Bahem Shivim Shana, a normal lifespan is 70 years. So when you reach 35 years, you're ready
over the hill.
You're ready Ruba Kukulai. So we give him honorary degree. Honoris causa. You make honorary by mitzvah. Because by mitzvah, the age of 35. Okay. Remember, the din is when you do a chalitza, you have to know for sure that the woman is a gedola. So how you got to know if the woman, you go and you check to see if she has shtei saris. I remember once my father was doing a chalitza in the yeshiva, he always asks permission of the Yavam Niyavama, is it okay if you do it in the yeshiva in front of the students? The students should see what a chalitza is all about. So if they give permission, so he did it. So he was explaining everything in English, and then he said, in Yiddish, he didn't want to hurt the woman's feelings. He said, we don't have to check to see if she's a gadol. The woman is obviously over 35. She looked like she was 75. She was married for years, and she never had any children. So he said, we don't have to check. The woman is for sure. Either she's an islandess, and she's over 20, or she's a higil l'rosh naisav, she's 35. Yeah. It's a din. He mentioned and said, him shana, we have a din based on that pasuk. Yeah. So the Mishnah has a din. There are two, a man dies and he had two wives. So you only have to do chalitza, he never had any children. So you have to do chalitza yibum to one or the other. So he goes and he does yibum to one of them. And the other one goes and remarries. She's allowed to remarry. And then we discover later that the one who had the yibum was an islandess. Her body is not built normally. Everything is abnormal. Nimsis zu islandess. So what's the din? So if the one who had the yibum turns out to be an islandess, the other one was not allowed to remarry. Why not? So the opening Mishnah in the Mesichta, the opening Mishnah talks about Tzoras Habas. Tzoras Habas was a big debate between Beishan and Bisil. It was a big dispute that was raging for years, and it ripped apart the whole Klal Yisrael. The Beishan and Bisil got along with each other. They would marry each other and everything, but this was such a big machlekes. The Gemara says, what's the din? A man married his niece. Man married two wives. One is his niece, his brother's daughter, and the other wife is a nachris. Nachris doesn't mean a shiksa. Nachris means a stranger, not family. Not family. And then he dies. So the surviving brother is supposed to do yibum machalitza. But he's going to do yibum with his own daughter. One of the wives is his daughter. So the Gemara learns that from a pasuk, you don't even need chalitza. If one of them has an isa, one of the wives has an isa karis to me, so you don't do yibum, you don't do chalitza. So the question is, what about the Tzoras Habas? Over the centuries, this expression Tzoras Habas came to mean something. It means a guy has a single daughter, she's not getting married. That's called Tzoras Habas. But that's in Yiddish. In Yiddish, you call it, that's called Tzoras Habas. He has a single daughter, he's not finding a shidduch. But in the Mishnah, Tzoras Habas means, a tzor means a co-wife. The man who died, the brother who died, had two wives, and one of the wives is the daughter of the surviving brother. Now, you're allowed to marry your niece, you're not allowed to marry your aunt. If you marry your aunt, that's an isa koris. Marry your niece, the Gemara said, that's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to marry basa chayse, mitzvah to marry your niece. Yeah. So the Beisilov were of the opinion that since one of the two wives is an erva and there's no zika at all, ain't kiddushin tovs in the erva, so you don't need chalitza or yibum to the daughter, so the other wife is off the hook also. No yibum, no chalitza, no nothing. You don't need anything. And Beis Shammai disagreed. They say, no, the bas, the one who is in my daughter married my brother died, so then I'm not allowed to do yibum or chalitza. There's no zik at all to my daughter. But the other wife, you have to do either yibum or chalitza. And Beis Hillel was of the opinion that that's eisha sach shelo b'makom mitzvah, it's an isa kares. If the surviving brother will marry the other wife, the co-wife of his daughter, he'll be over an isa kares, and the children will be mamzerim. So the Beis Shammai insisted, it's a mitzvah to do yibum. The surviving brother should do yibum on the other wife, not on his daughter. The other wife is a mitzvah. Misilla said the children would be mamzer. You're not allowed to. This was going on for years and years. And the Gemara says in the end of the first parak, this machlekes was going on, but the Beis Shammai and Misilla would marry each other, and if the shidduch was such that it's an iser a mamzer, so they would notify, you can't marry this girl because according to your shita, you follow Misilla's shita, that child will be a mamzer. And according to the Beis Hillel, the co-wife does need chalitza. According to Beis Shammai, she's not allowed to marry Lashuk, she'll be a Yavama Lashuk. So, it was a big machlekes. It's going on for years, a big machlekes. So the Mishnah has, he passed like Beis Hillel. So the Mishnah has, the Masechta begins, there are 15 cases where the brother who died, my brother who died, I never had a brother. Okay, so make him believe. I had a brother, my brother died, then he had two wives. One wife is one of these 15 women who is an eved to me, but it's not an eved to my brother. So I don't have Yibam Machalitza with the one who's an Erva, and we pass like Vesili, you don't do Yibam Machalitza to the co-wife either. It's either all or nothing. There's no Yibam Machalitza and no Zika at all. But what happens? What happens? My brother died, then he leaves two wives. And one wife is my daughter, and one wife is Tzoras Abbas, the co-wife. And then it turns out, we discover that the daughter was an islandess. We never realized the daughter was an islandess. So then you do need chalitza on the second wife. Why? So Rashi says on the Mishnah, the Pashup Shat to the Mishnah, we'll soon see whether we paskin like that. Pashup Shat to the Mishnah is, if a man, let's say a man was dating Rachel for 7 years, and then under the chuppah they slip in Leah. So that's a Kiddushin Torah. The Kiddushin is not Chal. He thought he's marrying Rachel, turns out that it's Leah. So what if a man marries a girl and she has, there was a case like this. There was a boy who was dating a girl, it was a frumer boy, he didn't look so carefully at the girl. He didn't realize the girl had chemotherapy, she didn't have any hair. So she was wearing a shekel the whole time. They didn't tell him till the night he was going to get engaged. So the night that he rang the bell to take the girl out to propose that night, so instead of the girl answering the door, so the father answered the door. And he tells him, before you take my daughter out, I have to tell you that my daughter suffered from some kind of cancer. And it's not her own hair. And she can't have any children. Can't have any children. And she needed treatment for years and years and years. And then he was afraid the girl's going to die if he doesn't marry her. She'd die from aggravation. So he went ahead and they pressured him. They pressured him that he should marry the girl. And he has problems all the time. Unfortunately, he has problems. So that would probably be a kiddusha tos. A man marries a girl, and they knew she had a problem. Not that no one knew. There are a lot of things we don't know. So all of life, you get married and you see how things turn out. But they knew in advance that the girl had problems. Let's say the girl has two plastic legs, and she has a false eye, and she has mumen all over, but they didn't tell her. So the Mishnah has that kiddusha Torah. So sometimes you don't even need a get. Sometimes you need to get me the Rabbanan. Sometimes you need to get me Sofek. Sometimes you don't even need a get at all. So if a man marries a girl and they're married for years, they have no children, maybe she's an Akara, maybe he's an Akara, we don't know. Even if it turns out she's an Akara, that's not called Kiddusha Torah. But if it turns out the girl is an islandess, the whole body is built differently, and it's just impossible, even with hormone treatment and diet and everything, it's impossible for her to have children. That's considered Kiddusha Torah, and you don't need a get at all. So here, the case, my brother dies, he had two wives. One wife is my daughter, so there's no Chalitza Yim, there's no Zika at all. And the other wife is a stranger. Then it turns out, we find out later, my daughter was always an islandess, and he never knew. If he would have known that she was not, he would not have married her in the first place. So he was not my brother who died, the brother that I never had. So my brother who died didn't have two wives. He was only married to the Nochris. He wasn't married to my daughter, because my daughter was an islandess. So it's not she. The other one is not a Tzoras Abbas. So the Mishnah says, if Nimtzes Islandess, if the Erva turns out, you have a Tzoras Erva, the co-wife. If the Erva turns out to be an Islandess, it was a Kiddusha Torah from day number one. So the Kiddusha and Natchal, you don't even need a get from the Rabbanon. That's a simple pshat in the Mishnah. So the other one is not a Tzoras Erva. So you do Yibam Machalitza to the other one. That's the opening Mishnah. If that's the Pashup Pshat in the Mishnah, and there are Maroim who paskin like the Pashup Pshat in the Mishnah. According to the Pashup Pshat in the Mishnah, it's because of Kedusha Tois. What if my brother knew in advance that my daughter is an islandess and he marries her anyway? So then it's not a Kedusha Tois. So then it would be a Tzara Serva. So then, just like there's no Yibam Machalitza to my own daughter, so there's no Yibam Machalitza to the co-wife, because that's the Machalitza Bisham and Bisil, and we paskin like Bisil. We don't accept that opinion. There were Amoraim who passed like that. That's on Daf Yud Beis. So we don't pass like that. We pass here. The last line on Yud Beis Amar Aleph. Amar Rava, going over to Yud Beis Amar Beis. Amar Rava Hilchasa How do we pasken? Soris Island is muteris. I feel he could book. Even if my brother knew when he married my daughter that she's an islander and she can never have any children, not Staman Akora, he knows she's an islander. Still, the din is, and she, the other wife is a Tsaras Erva. He was married to my daughter and to another wife. So the din is that Tsaras islander is muteris. I can do Yiba Machalitza. Why? I bought it to Tsaras Erva. Why is it muter? So Rashi quotes the Bahag, the top Rashi on Yud Beis and Beis. Rashi quotes the Bahag. What's the din? My daughter doesn't marry my brother. My daughter gets married. She marries a nice guy. And then he has another wife before the Chayim that Rabbeinu Gershom was instituted. He happens to be married to my daughter, a stranger. He happens to be married to my daughter, and then he marries another woman. And then the son-in-law dies. He dies. So is there a din I'm not allowed to marry the other wife? No, Tzoras Habas is only also b'mokam Yibum. If it's a situation of Yibum, and it's Eishesach is only muta b'mokam mitzvah, when there's a mitzvah of Yibum, Eishesach, if there are children, there's no mitzvah of Yibum, so it's an Issa. Eishesach is also, even after the brother dies, it's an Issa of Eishesach. So here, Eishesach is only muta b'mokam mitzvah, so if there are two wives and one wife is an erva, so then the din is there's no zika to the other wife either, and the Yisrael Sach comes back again. But over here, when my daughter is married to a stranger, so Eishes Sach shalom b'makam mitzvah, there's no din of Tzoras Habas shalom b'makam mitzvah. So since the daughter was an islandess, even though she was married to my brother, islandess is not in the parsha of Yibam Machalitza, because the Gemara says, in Kol HaTorah Kula, we have a rule, Ein HaMikra Yetzim Midei Pshuta. The Pshuta Shal Mikra is always binding, and then in addition to the Pshuta Shal Mikra, we have additional levels of interpretation in many of the Pesukim. Kodesh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way that there are more than one level of interpreting any given Pasuk. So the Gemara says, this is true in the whole Chumash, except for one Pasuk. Kol HaTorah Kula, we say, Ein HaMikra Yetzim Pshuta, Chutz Ben HaMikra Hazeh. The Pasuk says, if my brother dies and he had no children, how does it say? So the simple translation sounds like, the first baby who will be born when I do Yibum, my sister-in-law, should be named after the one who died, and his name shouldn't be wiped up. So the Gemara said, there is no such din, and there is no such halacha. And every phrase in the pasuk is referring to a different din. Vayabchar means mitzvah godly abim. If there are three brothers and one brother dies, so who should do? Who has the kedima to do yibum and to do chalitza? The bchor, whoever is the older from the surviving brothers, mitzvah the godly abim, the older brother. Same chalitza. The chalitza should be done by the oldest brother. If he's not around, he moved to South Africa. So you're not mechuyif to go spend thousands of dollars in order to do the mitzvah, hid the mitzvah of doing mitzvah. Hayapchar ashetelaid means pratla islandess. If the woman is obviously an akara, she was married for 65 years, she never had any children, so there must have been some problem. But an akara, there's still a din of yibam mechalitza. But if she's an islandess, the whole body was growing in a different way, then there's no din of yibam mechalitza. Yalka Mashemach V'Ameis is a din that the brother who does Yibum Yarshens the Nifter. V'Lei Machashmah B'Yisrael means if the surviving brother or the dead brother is a Soris, the whole parsha doesn't apply. But the whole pasuk together, you don't read V'Yab Choshetel Mashemach V'Ameis, the Pshutu Shemikru we don't accept. The Chazal had a tradition that this is the one and only pasuk in all Chamishu Chumshi Torah, that the Pshutu Shemikru is not true. So again, so because the phrase in the pasuk is Ashetele doesn't mean the firstborn baby that she gives birth to. Vayapcha means mitzvah begodli. Ashetele means pratla islandess. If the almana, the brother died, and one of the almanas is an islandess, she's the whole parsha of chalitza, yibam chalitza doesn't apply. So that's where Rashi quotes from the Baal Halachas Gedolos over here, the top Rashi and Yud Beis on the base. If my brother died and he leaves two almanas, one is my daughter and one is a stranger. So the stranger should really be Tzoras Abbas, Tzoras Erva, so there shouldn't be any Zika. So he says, no, since my daughter was an islandess, She's not in the Parsha Yid Machalitz, it's like she doesn't exist. So it's like a Tzara Serva Shaloba Mokamitza. The islandess doesn't count at all. As far as the Parsha of Chalitza and Yibam is concerned, islandess doesn't count at all. So that's a we paskan la'alocha. That when the Mishnah says, if my brother who died was married to my daughter and to another wife, a nachris, a stranger, so not only is there no Yibam Chalitza on the daughter, there's no Chalitza on the other one either, but if the daughter turns out to be an islandess, then the din is not so. Why not? So half of the Amoraim held the simple reading in the Mishnah because an islandess is Bamish Kiddush HaTorah. You don't need a get, so it's not Tzara Serva. The brother who died wasn't married to two wives. He was only married to the Nachas. He was never married to my daughter. It was a Kiddush HaTorah. Even though he never discovered during his lifetime that she was an islandess, it was only discovered after he died. Also, it's called Kiddush HaTorah. And we don't pass on like that. We pass on, even if my brother knew from day number one that the girl is an islandess and it's not a Kiddush HaTorah, and you need a get ben HaTorah. And when he died, he left two wives, my daughter and the Tzaras Habas. There's still, you're allowed to do Yibam Machalitza on the co-wife, because the islandess doesn't count. She's not in the parsha of Yibam Machalitza, it doesn't count at all. So now the Gemara, where are we? In the Tzadik somewhere. So the Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Gittin. What's the Mishnah again? A man dies, and the surviving brother does Yibum to one of the two wives. No relatives. No daughters over here. No relatives. He does Yibum to one. One does Yibum to one Shai. So the other one goes and she remarries. What you going to wait for? Then he discovers later that the one that he did Yibum to was an islandess. An islandess does not do the Yibum Machalitza. So the Tzara who remarried had no right to remarry, because the Yibam or the Chalitza that you do to the islandess doesn't count at all. So we throw all the penalties on the Tzara's, on the Tzara who remarried. So the Gemara said, what do you want from her? She didn't know that this one is an islandess. How is she supposed to have the Ruach HaKodesh to know that the other one is an islandess? How is it again? He asked Akasha Toshma, the Mishnah in Gittin. HaKodesh says, Yivim Tamen does Yibam, Bocha Tzara's of an Isis. So the co-wife goes and she remarries. As long as one of them has chalitza, even the other cannot. And then after a while, after a year or two, benimtzes a while, and it turns out that the one who did the yibum was an islandess, and you can't do yibum a chalitza to the islandess. So you throw all the penalties. Teitze mizeh umizeh. She has to get divorced from the man that she married because we treat her like a saita, asura the boil. And she's not allowed to do Yibum Teitze Mizeh Mizeh, because Yishameris Yavim, just like there's a din, he was going to discuss it, just like there's a din, Eishes Ish Shezinsa, Asur Al Baila, Soito, Soto Yivam Al Ashuk Shezinsa, it's a question if we paskin like this, but this Mishnah holds like that, Yivam Al Ashuk Shezinsa is Asur Al Yavim, because the Yivam Al Ashuk is a Zika is a Mitzah Zishus, with the Yavam, Isha Iktalam and Hashemayim, the surviving brother never married the sister-in-law. But the Torah declares, since the brother died, the brother was married to her, the Torah declares that there's a partial marital relationship between the Yavam, the surviving brother, and the Amana.
The islandess knew she's an islandess?
Could be she also didn't know. You don't really know that she's an islandess till about 20. It takes a while to see how the body is developing. So if the body doesn't develop normally, then you'll be able, there is Simani Islands, later in the Gemara Yom is to have, oh, it's before this, you have the Simani. How do you know that a person is a Soris, a man? How do you know that a woman is an islander? So the, you have to see how the body is developing.
So if she knows, then she's going for her to do the Avera.
Okay. Doesn't really matter whether she knew or she didn't know. Maybe she'll burn in Gehenna that she should have told the other wife that she shouldn't remarry, but she didn't. She didn't say. It's not relevant whether she did right or she did wrong. It's not relevant here. So the Mishnah says, Teitzim is Emizeh, she's not allowed to stay with the husband that she married because she needs Chalitza. It's Yavam Al Ashuk. And she's not allowed to go marry the Yavam because Yavam Shezinsa, just like Eishesin Shezinsa, Asur Abay, let's say Yavam Shezinsa is Asur Al Yavam. Chol Adrach Mohelubah, and all the penalties, the Zalksubin, the Mzainis, the Balois, the Haforis, the Darim, all the 16 penalties that's in the beginning of Perek Vayishar Rabba, everything is carried over in that case over there. So the Gemara fact Akasha V'Amai, was a Zishuldik. Name Amai Havalola Mebad. It's not her fault. How is she supposed to have the Racha Kodesh to know that the other woman, the co-wife, is an islandess? And for the Gemara, we hold it against her because the boy Lamtune, she shouldn't have rushed so quickly to remarry. She should have waited a little bit. I don't really understand. I don't know. We did it, you have to wait 92 days. That we know. That's a din of Havchana. Whenever the husband dies, or the husband divorces his wife, if she's going to remarry right away, then you don't. She may have a baby later, and you won't know whether the father of the baby, the first husband, second husband. So what's the big deal? So you won't know who the father of the baby. You don't know if he's a kohen or a lady. So you won't know if he's a kohen or a lady. So that's a din mederabon. That's a din. You have to wait tzadik beis yom. You have to wait 92 days, 90 full days in between. At the first day of the 90th day, the day the husband died, the day the husband gave her a get. And the 92nd day is the day that she wants to remarry. You have to wait havchonim. That's kedel havchim in zera shel bishon, zera shel sheni. By Gioris also, the machlokes in the Gemara. Whether by machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, Tak and Yevamos before. Whether Gioris, you have to wait havchonim, we pass, and you do need havchonim.
She waited 92 days, and then
you
find that
Ayala is dead. Yeah, it happened after 92 days also. They can wait 2 years, and then you have Yibam, and then she'll find out later on that the other one was also. How much more do you want it to wait? I don't know what it means. Now, Moshe Paskin, the Halacha Maaseh, there's a difference between the Havchana by Gioris and the Havchana by Yeshesish. By Yeshesish, the Gemara says, even if the husband was sitting in prison the last 10 years, and the wife wasn't near him, so she can't be pregnant. Even if the wife is 95 years old, she's obviously not pregnant. Even if they haven't been talking, even they've been separated for the last 25 years. Even if Eliyahu Navi comes and he tells us that the girl is not pregnant. So that thing, that's a loy plug rabbanon. So even if you take a pregnancy test and you know one way or the other that she is pregnant or not pregnant, you say she's not allowed to remarry. The Gemara never says it by Gioris. The Gemara never says it by Gioris. What's the din by Gioris? You know for sure that she is pregnant. You know for sure that she's not pregnant. So that's a suffix in the Chalkas Mechoykig and Shulchan Aruch. They say that it's a loyplug rabbanon even by Gioris or not. So the Menchas Chinuch, so it's interesting, the Sridi Yesh has two tshuvas on the topic. So he has tshuvas from before the war and tshuvas from after the war. So from before the war, he quotes the suffix in the commentaries on Eben Ezra. And he says, that you should insist on waiting 92 days, even by Gioris, even though you know for sure. Then after the Second World War, a group of Talmid HaChachamim, who ran away from Europe, went to Eretz Yisrael, they started a whole organization. They printed Oitza HaPoskim on Eben Ezra. Cost a fortune of money. You would pay Talmid HaChachamim to gather together a likud of all of the achrayim, what everybody says on every sif in the Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezra. I don't think they finished the whole Eben Ezra yet, but they did. They got 60, 70 siman. They went deep into Shulchan Aruch. So after the war, when they put together the Oitzer HaPoskim, so they quote the Minchas Chinuch, usually not used for Psak Halacha. The Minchas Chinuch brings a right from a Rambam that the Havchana by Gioris is not a Leiplug. If you know one way or the other, then it's not a Leiplug. So the Sridi Yesh, after the war, he changed the psak because he saw the Itzar Poskin, that it's not a Leiplug. So that's what they say, Rabbi Moshe Paskin like that also. If you take a pregnancy test and they tell you that she's not pregnant, she is pregnant, so you can rely on that by a Gioris. But by an Eish Yesh, a Grusha or an Almana, that the Gemara said, that's a Leiplug Rabbanon.
We should require the second wife to do a chalitza, because then if she doesn't need it, so then she didn't do anything. And if she does need it, if it turns out that the first one is an islandess, and she does need it, so she will have already done it before she gets remarried.
She'll not be allowed to marry a kohen. She would rather not do a chalitza. Min HaTorah, only a grusha is not allowed to marry a kohen. Mid the Rabbanon, they prohibit even a chalutza. They're not allowed to marry a kohen. So if the girl is an almana, she can't marry a kohen gadol. But we don't have any kohen gadolim today. So if she's only an almana, she's allowed to marry a kohen. So if the other wife did yibum a chalitza, the other wife did chalitza, she can't marry a kohen. But this one, the Tzara, would be allowed to marry her, so she does want to do chalitza to play it safe. She wants to have the other one do Yibum or Chalitza, and then she wants to be free to marry a guy.
No, but she's going to have to do the Chalitza anyways if it turns out that the first one is an island.
The odds are 1,000,000 to 1 that she's not going to turn out to be an island. It's very rare.
Right, right, but she's doing it on the condition. If the other one, let it not count as anything, if the other one is not an island. Like we do by a Tzulman on Pesach, right? That if
the Gemara says you can't do chalitza ala tonight. It would have been a good story. But the Gemara, we learned that Gemara. Now we learned mitzvah chalitza. Gemara said you can't do chalitza ala tonight. I'll do the chalitza on the condition that she pays me $100,000, and if not, the chalitza should not be valid. So the Gemara says chalitza is good even if she doesn't pay the money. Because you can't make it tonight. Since you cannot do chalitza, so you have no ability to make it tonight either. Yeah. So I don't know, the Gemara says, if we hold it against the Tzara, she should have waited. How many years do you want it to wait? I don't know.
Well, Rabbi Shapter, the toast is a shame him. Ibor Leilam Tui, at the bottom of the page.
Yeah.
Also, there should
be. Yeah. I don't know. He doesn't give an answer. Why is it? Well, how long do you want it to wait? I don't know. Pshat in the Gemara. That's what the Gemara says. Boy, I'm telling you, she should have waited. She shouldn't have rushed so quick. Okay. Then the Gemara, each one of the Amoraim asks the same kasha, but each one asks from a different Mishnah. So now Abai asks a kasha. Amar Abai, Toshma, I have another Mishnah. Kol HaRaisha Amar Potestor say, if the brother who died was married to two wives, and one wife is an erva to me, it's 15 possibilities. That's the opening Mishnah. There are 15 different cases that it could be one wife of the Niftar, of the brother who died, is a erva to me, but she's not an erva to the brother who died. If it's my sister, it's his sister also. If it's my mother, it's his mother also. It can't be. But if it's my shviger, it's not his shviger. Okay. So there are cases where one of the wives is an erva to me, not an erva to the one who died. So the Mishnah says, the Mishnah says in Gitna, Kol HaRaisha Amar Potestor say, when you have two wives, and one of them is an erva, so the other one doesn't eat chalitza. So there were two wives, and one of them is my daughter or my shviger, whatever. So you don't need chalitza yibim at all. Hochatzara, so all the other wives go, and they all remarry in Issu. Then it turns out an Issu eilan islandist. Then it turns out that the one who is my daughter is an islandist. So it's kiddushit toes, or we pass on Allah like Rava and Afyid Beis and Beis. Even if when my brother got married, he knew that the daughter of mine that he's married was an islandist still. Islandist is not in the parish at all, so it's not called a Tzara Seraphim. So the Mishnah says, we penalize all the Tzaras who went and they got married. The Tzaras who remarried have to get divorced from the second husband, and they're not allowed to marry the Yovam, and we have all the penalties. The Gemara says, Ramai, what do you want? What is it her fault? Name of Mahavala the man. What is it her fault? Gemara says again, she should not have rushed into it. She should have waited a little bit and tried to ascertain. Maybe it means a couple of weeks. Maybe a couple of weeks till she'll find out whether the other wife is an islandist. I don't know why you're supposed to be concerned about the possibility. Such a far-fetched possibility.
She didn't find out when she was married for all these years.
Yeah.
So now that
co-wife.
That was the co-wife. Yeah.
Right. And she was close to her.
Yeah. I don't know. It's very strange to me. It's also very strange. I don't know. So Rav asked the same kasha from a different Mishnah. Amar Rav and Toshma, the same thing. Each Amar is asking from another Mishnah. Why don't you say, what is it her fault? You should say that it says she's in Tzibayinus. So what does it say to have, when a couple gets divorced, the husband has to pay ksuba to the wife. So let's say a normal case. So they come to the Sofer and they say, the husband says, write me a get after divorce my wife. And then the wife says, he's going to pay me the ksuba now. So write a shofar, write a receipt. Then when the husband pays me the ksuba, I'm getting the amount of money for the ksuba, I'll give him a document. This is to ascertain that the whole payment was taken care of. He doesn't owe me any more ksuba. So the Sefer wrote the book documents, and he thought he gave the get to the husband and the ksuba, and the shaver, the receipt, to the wife. And he made a mistake. And he gave the shaver to the husband and the get to the wife. And then the husband called the Edom. So this can never happen today, this, because we always have it done by Rabbanim and by Abezin, and the Gemara said, then the Edom have to read the get before they give the get, so they'll know what he's giving. So here they didn't read the get in advance. They knew the Sefer wrote the get. Why do you have to read it? So by mistake, the Sefer gave the Sheva to the husband. Husband gives the Sheva to the wife. We know what he meant. We know what he wanted. But he didn't give. If I give a blank piece of paper to my wife and say, I read Mugureshes, it doesn't say anything about getting divorced. So that's no good, even though his intention clearly was to get divorced. And the wife gave the get to the husband. So then a year later, each one opens up what they have. Turns out that the husband has the get. He never gave it to the wife. And the wife has the Sheva. She never gave it to the husband. So it turns out she was still married to the first husband. And in the course of the year, she waited 92 days, and then she married someone else. So she's an Eshes Ish Azinsa. So the Mishnah says, you give the whole penalties. Because of Sefer Get, Li'ish, V'Sheva Li'ish. And the Sefer wrote the Get on behalf of the husband, and wrote the Sheva for the wife. Sheva is the receipt to say, and they had it witness to sign it, that the Ksuba was paid. And when he pays her the ksuba, then she's going to give him the document. With Torah, the Sefer made a mistake. When us and I get leish, we shave a leish. When us and Zer lozeh, the wife gave the get to the husband by mistake, and the husband gave the shave to the wife. So nothing, it was wrong. Well, lachas man, after a while, Harry, I get yetz mitachas yadehu ish, he comes to the realization, he never gave his wife a get. And the shave mitachas yadehu ish, and the woman remarried, based on the get that was never given. So the Mishnah gives the whole penalty. Teitzim mizeh mizeh. She has to get divorced from the second husband because we treat her as a sight asur lebayla kishem shasur lebayla kach asur lebayla kol adrach ma'elibah, all the 16 penalties, everything from the first mission, Isha Rab, everything. Fegmar the Amai, why do you have all the penalties? Lema mahavel alamem, it's not her fault. And for the Gemara, she should have opened it up before she remarried. She should have opened it up to look at it. She didn't even look at it. She can't read Hebrew. So she should have shown it to a rabbi. Bizman is there, it's not shaykh. It's supervised by rabbis, but in the days of the Tanoim, the Mishnah was written by the time. Days of the Tanoim, the Rabbanim didn't supervise the get. Same thing, the Gemara says all the cases. Same thing. The Gemara is going to give the same answer on everything. Boy, little kway the get. She should have. Okay. But then the next week we'll have to continue. Today, Sedra, we read the way the Rebbe Shalom tells Avram Avinu, "Chum hisalach baros l'orko l'rachbo kilchua tenen." You should walk all over the borders of Eretz Yisrael. Kilchua etenenu. So the Gemara has a discussion. How do you translate kilchua etenenu? Was this a promise that's going to be fulfilled in the distant future when Yeshua ben Nun will conquer Eretz Yisrael? Then Haftocha will be fulfilled. Or should we say, no, kilcha, by walking around the borders, you will acquire ownership of Eretz Yisrael right now? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him that constitutes a kinyan chazoka. You can become a karka, b'kesef, or b'shtar or b'chazoka. So here, the Rebbe Shalom said, by walking around the borders, because by walking around the borders, kilcha etenenu. So the Gemara said, that's how we paskin. We assume halacha l'maisa, from the day that Avram Avinu walked around the border, it already belonged to him. Fine. And the Mishnah in Bava Basra has a machlokes hatanaim. Is that same din apply bizman hazeh? I want to sell you a pardes. So I say, walk around the borders, and that will constitute a kinyan chazok. So one Tana Reb Lezer is of the opinion that it's a kinyan bizman hazeh. We paskin against Reb Lezer. We paskin that was a hara shah once in the history of the world. The Rebbe Shlom made a yotzim in a klal that constituted a chazaka, but the Ladaris, that's not a chazaka. Chazaka has to be no agarra parts. You put up a fence, you take down a fence, you lock the door, you open the door, shank. But just walking around the borders is not. But then you read the parsha later, so the Rebbe Shlom says he's going to make a krisis bris with Avram Avinu, he's going to give merit to Israel. He gave it to him already. He already made the kinyan in the beginning of the Sedra. So what does it say again? He made a krisitz bris. So the Chazanish in the Sefer HaShviyas raises the question. So he says the answer is that the Gemara in Gittin has a, based on psukim and different psukim in Tanakh, has an international din of kibush mochama. If one country wages war against another country, whether beheter or beisa, Russia takes over Ukraine, or whatever, Ukraine takes over Russia, whatever, whether they had the right to, they didn't have the right to. The country that wins the war acquires ownership of all the houses, all the cities, all the cars, all the people. They own everything. That's kibush mochama. If one country takes over another country through mochama, they acquire ownership. So this din of kibush mochama applies to everything in the world except for Eretz Yisrael, because the Ribbono Shel Olam made a shvua, he made a bris and a shvua, and the Ramban writes al Torah, whenever there's a shvua or a bris, it means al kapanim. Under all circumstances, it's never going to change. So here, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu. He walked around the borders and acquired ownership. But then if the goyim will come, if the Babylonian armies will take over Eretz Yisrael, they'll acquire ownership. If the Roman army will take over Eretz Yisrael, they'll acquire ownership. The Jewish people will lose the ownership. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, no, I'm making a bris and I'm making a shvuah that Eretz Yisrael always belongs to the Jewish people. We never lost our ownership. That's what the Chazon Ish points out. So the Beit Shik used to always emphasize this as well. He said, we don't owe a debt of gratitude to the British for giving us Eretz Yisrael. 1948, it never belonged to them. We never lost our ownership. It always belonged to the Jewish people. I remember once Rabbi Gorin visited the yeshiva. He was very entertaining. Shopping, very, very good speaker. Very good speaker. I was so taken by him, I went to hear him speak a few times in the yeshiva. So he's a very good speaker. So he gave a whole pilpul in Rabbi Soloveitchik's class. We were learning Sanhedrin, and he gave a shiur. I remember he had, people have a pocket, the Gemara, he had even Yerushalmi in his pocket. Then in the middle of the shiur, he says, he sticks it in his pocket, pulls out his pocket, Asher mi shabo lekam Talmud biyode, I came from Yerushalayim, and I brought my Talmud Yerushalmi with me. So he starts reading a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi that was relevant for the shiur. It was very, very cheerful shiur. So in the middle of the shiur, he was assuming, like Rabbi Zalman Meltzer in the Eben Ha'azel, that during the 7 years of Golus Bavel, the Jewish people lost their ownership over Eretz Yisrael. When they came back after the 7 years, they had to reacquire ownership by making a kinyan chazakah. The Rambam says that the Kedusha Shnia, when Ezra and Nehemiah came and they endowed Eretz Yisrael for 7 years, there was no Kedusha Saaretz. So they had to endow Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha Shnia. How did they do it? So the Rambam says through chazakah. So Rabbi Zalman interprets pshat chazakah, kinyan chazakah. They acquired ownership. So Rav Soloveitchik didn't like that in a big way. So he disagreed with Rabbi Gorin, and he said, that's not pshat in the Rambam. Chazakah doesn't mean that. Whatever it does mean is a problem, but it doesn't. He said the Jewish people never lost their ownership of Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Gorin insisted on his pshat. He was going like Rabbi Zalman. So the next day when Rabbi Gorin wasn't there, Rabbi Soloveitchik used to give a shiur then Tuesday and Wednesday, only 2 days a week. So on Wednesday he said, what Rabbi Gorin said yesterday is not acceptable, absolutely wrong, he doesn't think it's correct. That's what the Chazon Ish says. The purpose of the bris was but it should be al kapanim, that the international klal of kibush mochama doesn't apply. So Rabbi Soloveitchik used to say this every so often on the opening Rashi al HaTorah. Rashi quotes in the Medrash, Am Rav Yitzchak, why does the Torah begin with Bereshis Bara? It should begin from HaChodesh HaZalachem. That's the first mitzvah that was given to the Jewish people. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, the Loshen, the day will come that the Ummah Sa'olam will claim to the Jewish people, listen Atem, you stole Eretz Yisrael from us. Rav Soloveitchik said, I think I read that in the New York Times yesterday. Every year when he was saying, I think I read that yesterday in the New York Times, in the United Nations. The Arabs were always saying, the Jews stole Eretz Yisrael, belongs to us. He said, he thinks he read that. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I created the world. Kol Horetz Al HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bara. He created it, everything belongs to him. And the son of Asher Yosha B'Einav. But son of the son of Ham, and the son of the Talam Ham, and the son of Lam. So Rav Soloveitchik understood, when the Ribbono Shel Olam gave Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu, it's not subject, that's the one thing, one possession in the whole wide world that's not subject to kibush mochama. So that's b'dorim b'salam taina. There is no such thing. Everything in the world, every ownership is subject to kibush mochama. And the Torah tells us, no, the Ribbono Shel Olam made a haftach, he made a bris, he made a shvur, that Eretz Yisrael always belongs to the Jewish people. I remember years ago, when they used to have Abba Ivan, who was the Israeli representative, he spoke every other week, he spoke in the United Nations. He always used to open a Tanakh, and he always used to read the Psukim of the Bible. Baruch Hashem gave us Eretz Yisrael amongst us. That's our claim to Eretz Yisrael.
Hashem should have said to Avram Avinu that Avram will not come as a child and Sarai will not have a child. Only when he changed. So why did he have to marry Hagar? I mean, when he married Hagar, it was still Avram.
You guys want to stay tomorrow, okay?
Interesting, I don't know.
Because the lotion that Rashi quotes in the marriage, she feel.